button so that we can post this interview and our others on our website, WABF1480.com. So talk about now the Mardi Gras issues discussed in the work session.
Right. One, the first thing we talked about was just parade, the parade permits and parade rules. We wanted to have those fresh on our mind while we discussed them with the city council. We have not revisited the parade permits or the parade rules since 1993. Some of the rules we've tweaked, but not the permit. So that permit has been the same since, again, 1993.
That applies to the parading organization.
It does. Okay. And a lot has changed. And sometimes, you know, one thing we want to look at was the definition of the parade, of a parade, because we have, you know, so many different organizations who, you know, whether it be the Martin Luther King Day March, the Witches Ride, those kind of things. What constitutes a parade? How do you define that? So that was one of the things we wanted to look at. And then again, that parade permit fee right now, that is $2,500, which has been that since 1993. And so right now we spend about $20,000 per parade on overtime and city resources to put on Mardi Gras parade. So about $60,000 for the season. And so, you know, we need to, of course, we know we're not going to recapture all that money. And we know that there are some things, some intangibles that we, you know, that we see on the back end, sales tax, lodging tax, those
sure,
kind of things.
Right.
How good it is for the businesses, the economy. But, again, we want to make sure that we're, you know, just looking at all that and seeing if we need to increase those fees and seeing what kind of rules we need to change.
Okay, so that the city puts out about $60,000 in manpower and moving stuff
Correct.
Around, but that's covered by that $25 fee. I can see that, sure.
Yeah,
okay.
The $2,500, yes.
$2,500 fee, okay.
Yeah, so.
Well, yes. You don't expect, like you said, to recoup the cost. You've got the
Not
economic
at all.
Impact.
You do.
But in 20 years, it might be time to...
It's time to revisit them. And again, there's some things that we need to put in the... Even like for the throws, we want to make sure people... You know, Christmas parade, we had suckers. Well, those suckers are really, they're not good to throw because you might hit somebody in the eye with the stick. The other thing is it's bad on the street sweeper. It's hard for the street sweeper to pick those up, so they end up on the street. So we want to do some of that. During Mardi Gras, we had the Mylar confetti that hit one of the power lines, knocked out a transformer.
Oh, gosh.
We want to make sure that we talk about Mylar confetti, that you can't use that. We tell the parading organizations that they can't do it verbally, but it's not in our parade rules. So there are some things in there that we just need to go and clean up for housekeeping.
Okay. All right, and also, were there some discussion about the handicap parking versus the motorhome parking there behind the library?
There was. That's something that we said that we were going to bring back, and that area behind the library, it continues to be RV parking. We decided this year we did not want to rush and change that, but next year we have asked them to consider possibly making that handicap parking. It's about 70 spaces, and again, that's one of the major complaints that we get is that there's just not enough handicap parking or not. And even if you're not completely handicapped, but you're just immobile, you know, maybe you're just having like you've had a knee replacement. It's hard for you to get in and out or get close to a parade route. That's a parking lot that you can get in and out of the parade route. You know, before the parades are over, all the other parking lots we have, you get locked in.
Mm-hmm.
So that would give us them access in and out you know, during the parade or after the parade, and also close to that parade route so they could just hit that parking lot and then go right there on Bancroft by the library mm-hmm. and be able to watch the parade.
And how many spaces would that provide?
70.
Okay.
70. And again, they're not all... We may have to block off a few of those because you want to give people access to be able to open, mm-hmm. put down a lift or that kind of stuff. So, mm-hmm. but right now there are 70 spaces in that parking lot.
So once again, this was a work session discussion, no action taken.
No action taken.
Okay. All right. Anything else on the work session before we move to the meeting?
No.
What were your mayor's comments or report of the mayor?
So, I thank everybody, of course, for Arts and Crafts. What a great weekend it was.
Oh,
it was a little,
fantastic.
Little chilly, a mm-hmm. little rainy, but it was great. We had great crowds on Saturday, and, you know, I think Public Works did a great job. The committee, the volunteers did a great job. Just talked about what a great weekend is, a great weekend and how much we enjoyed it.
I heard on TV 300,000. Do we have a head count?
That's what they reported was about 300,000. I don't, you know, those numbers are hard for me to say that was the case.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Friday to me was a little bit slack because obviously they closed a little early, but Saturday it was a huge crowd.
Okay, Friday was actually a good day for a lot of the businesses, though.
It was. They went inside.
I spoke with one of the gentlemen at one of his art booths on Saturday, and, you know, one of the booths that have a bunch of paintings and stuff, mm-hmm. and he had about 5 paintings in it. Not what you would consider the arts and crafts thing.
Right.
And I said, "Where's all your paintings?" And he said, "Well, I sold 9 on Friday before the rain, And so I'm mostly sold out. So
that's good.
We know that Friday works. So
and well, that was a vendor in the
was a vendor
festival.
In the festival, yeah.
You're saying the businesses also did
the
well.
The businesses did well too. I made a point of stopping in several of them this weekend just to ask them how they did, and they said they did really well. And I think on Friday, because they closed early, you know, sometimes you have a chance to walk around and kind of make a decision about a purchase. I think people were like, a lot of people only come on Friday. So if they saw something they liked, I think they were going ahead and making that purchase knowing the festival was closing earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And so they didn't maybe walk around as much and, you know, kind of wait and make a decision. They just went ahead and made the purchase, which was great.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. Anything else on your mayor's report?
I also, again, wanted to thank the Fairhope Police Department. They did that program at Fairhope High School with Lieutenant Mike Reese about fentanyl and the dangers of fentanyl. And that was a great program. We had about 125 people that were there for the evening event. And then, of course, they did that at the high school yesterday for the students.
Oh, good.
Very impactful and just a great program. I also, the other thing I did was commend our staff on workman's comp. We actually had a reduction in our workman's comp cost, a pretty significant reduction because of the efforts that we are putting forth in safety for our employees.
Mm-hmm.
We have a safety officer who is, you know, doing a great job of investigating things, but making safety really, putting that in the forefront for our employees. And so because of that, we are reducing our annual premium from $507,000 a year to $439,000 a year. So you're seeing significant savings.
That's
because
very
of the,
significant.
Because
yeah.
of the efforts we're making.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, it is.
Love to hear being good stewards of our money.
Absolutely.
So on the agenda was a final adoption to zone and annex 1.16 acres at the northeast corner of Highway 181 and 104. Remind us of what that's going to be.
That's where the Wawa's gas station is going.
Okay, and that's and across from Aldi?
No, that's across from
Publix.
From Publix.
Okay.
At
104
and 181.
Got it. Okay. That's right.
Yeah, Aldi's at 64.
Yes.
Right by Walmart there, so.
Aldi's on Fairhope Avenue.
Yeah, 48.
Okay, 64 is what? Daphne Avenue.
Okay. That's right. Daphne, yeah.
Yeah, right. Right concept, wrong city.
That's
okay.
Right. That's right.
That's okay. I was telling Jack yesterday, we had Fairhope City Councilman Jack Borelli. There's so much growth and development that I get mixed up with.
It's hard to keep it straight.
What is what? That's why you're having to hire an additional building inspector.
That's right.
Agenda
That's right.
item number 10.
Yeah, in that past, last night, we had talked about that previously last week in the work session, and, you know, Eric Cortinez did a great job justifying that. I think I actually left you with some information on that, Lori. We are seeing, you know, continuing to see an increase in building, especially commercial building, and that's where it takes their inspectors a lot of time. I mean, just the reserve right there at Volana and 98, if they're having to inspect like four units at a time, and it's taken those inspectors half a day to do that. So there's a lot going on and a lot that's requiring our building inspectors to be, you know, to keep them
mm-hmm.
busy, a lot to keep them busy.
Here it is March, but the fireworks were on the agenda mm-hmm. to approve Pyro Productions and then authorize you to negotiate a fee. About
right.
what do we spend on the fireworks?
The fireworks for 4th of July runs about $30,000.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, $30,000 to $40,000, okay. And that's just going to depend on the price increase this year.
Okay.
And that's for about 20 minutes of fireworks. So, and again, unfortunately, those prices do continue to inch up there.
As everything else
that's
does.
Right.
Number 7, hiring Geocon Engineering to perform professional engineering, inspection, and construction materials for testing the water treatment plant.
And that is something that we've talked about for a while now. Everybody knows that we're working on the treatment plant number 3, and that's just looking at possibly the expansion of that well. So that's what that's for, the geotechnical.
Okay. And then 9 and 10 are, it's just, 8 and 9 mm-hmm. are approving public maintenance of a new subdivision.
That's right.
Once they're finished, the city takes over.
That's right.
The streets.
That's right. And so that's
right
all
away.
That is. It's just taking those over.
Okay. All right. Tell us about number 11. I remember that we had to have archaeology investigation into the property where the Arts Alley is going right across from us.
Right.
But now there's an additional $10,000 for that.
Yeah, it's just so they can, it's additional time basically. It's a not to exceed amount, but that is reimbursable. It's an 80-20 grant. And they really haven't found anything, to be honest.
So is there someone over there now watching us? Now, this morning, they're literally now, they're really digging up right there behind the Bone and Barrel and the Fair Hardware store.
They're looking at anything and everything that could possibly be of significance. They have not found anything. They found, I think, some old electric conductors, but nothing
it's
else.
It's electric. It's not, yeah.
No, no, it's from like the 1950s, so it's like ceramic or whatever, but they have not found any
burial grounds
or
and arrowheads.
Like
okay. So what would happen if they did? Could they actually
stop
this project?
They could stop it. It's a federal project, so yes, they could stop it. They're not anticipating finding anything. You know, there was some joking last night at the council meeting, maybe they're finding some antique beer bottles. but no, they have so far they have not found anything. Now, they don't anticipate finding anything.
Is this something required of every time you dig up the concrete, or how did this get on their radar?
Yeah, it has to do with the grant that
I
we
see.
Received.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
So, and you know, they dug that up when they built the parking deck. So, again, I don't know that they're going to find a lot of that area.
Right.
It was already dug up, so I don't know that they'll find anything.
Okay, all right. Number 12, the big numbers always catch my eye. Wastewater sludge removal services, estimated annual cost to be $600,000.
Yeah, and this is something we do every year. This is the sludge that comes off the wastewater treatment plant. We have a company who actually picks that up. They haul it off, they press it off-site, and then they utilize it for whatever their needs might be. But it's something necessary, you know, when you have wastewater plant. It's something that you have to do, or you have to treat it yourself, and we certainly don't want to treat it ourselves.
$90 per cubic yard at $600,000 a year. I was noticing when Matt McKenzie was in here, he took a tour of a facility in Florida that treated themselves. Mm-hmm. It was a very state-of-the-art facility. Is that something that we might consider in the future instead of the $600,000 a year? I know it would take millions to build.
Yes, it could be. But the other thing you have to consider, Florida's ADM regulations are different than Alabama's, or their regulations are different than Alabama's. So it just depends on what ADM would allow you to do, the Department of Environmental Management. But Florida's regulations are different from Alabama.
Okay.
So
all right.
We have to see what we'd be able to do.
Okay. Number 17, purchasing a $17,000 program for the city clerk agenda. Tell us about that.
Okay, so this is a new software program that will allow you to search the agendas. You could actually, if you needed to search a specific topic, it would allow you to do that. It will take you specifically to the agenda that it was on, the video. So it's very user-friendly, something that when the clerk is putting the agenda together, everything's uploaded there. Everybody has access to it. It's easy for her to put everything in there, and then it formulates the agenda for her. So just something to make it, again, more transparent, easier for people to use, and better for us to organize the agenda.
Did that pass?
It did pass.
Oh,
yes.
Good. So it's not just for internal use,
no,
but
external,
we can use
too.
It when I want to go look up pet ordinance
That's
or
right.
whatever the case may be.
That's right. It also automatically interfaces with MuniCode. So once you post an ordinance, or an ordinance has final adoption, then it'll automatically post to MuniCode. So there's a lot of bells and whistles with it that will make their job easier.
Oh, good. Okay. And finally, the last question I have is concerning number 14, negotiating a lease agreement with Dogwood BJE, and that is for the Fairhope Police Department substation?
It's for an additional precinct. For them to have out on Greeno. It's the leaseholder that we're working with to be able to negotiate that and then bring it back to council for approval. You know, we did not want to continue to move forward without some commitment to them to make sure that, you know, we're not holding them up. If there was something else they wanted to do with the building, we wanted that commitment from the council. So put this on the agenda, just allowing me to negotiate the lease agreement and then bring it back for their approval.
And that did pass?
It did pass.
Did y'all mention a dollar figure? What's it going to cost?
We did not. I do have those dollar figures, Lori. Actually, I don't have them. We had them from the chief. I don't have them with me today. But it's about $100,000 a year, maybe just a little bit more is what we're looking at.
Okay.
Overall, there's some initial cost on the front end, just to outfit it, put, you know, offices in and different things, security cameras, that kind of stuff. And then annually, it'd be about $100,000. And right now, we're looking at like a 3-year lease.
Okay. It's 7,000 square foot building.
7,000 square foot.
On Greeno Road.
On Greeno Road.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what would that be about? What, $8,000
yeah,
a month?
Yeah, the lease amount we're looking at, and again, we haven't is it right around that amount? We haven't finished negotiations, so there's nothing firm. But yeah, that's right around that amount.
I'm right brain. Don't ask me to do math on the spot, but I think it should be around.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else that you want to mention? I have not thought to ask.
I don't think so. I think, you know, it was a good meeting last night. A lot of, you know, good talk. We also went over the paving schedule.
Let's talk about that
Richard
in just
Johnson
a second.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't, every year.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay.
And you know, this year we have $400,000 budgeted for paving. We talked about we have 140 miles of public roads to maintain, which is a lot. And again, what Richard Johnson, Public Works Director, has proposed is about $200,000 over budget. So we looked at that, but we looked at Bancroft. There's an alley on Bancroft that needs to be paved. Windmill Road, White Avenue, Quail Creek Drive.
Wait. White Avenue, both sides?
White Avenue. I have the map right here. Let's see, Lori.
You know, I'm not on the Bay side. I'm on the other side. Let's see if my street's included.
We are trying to do at least one street in the Fruit and Nut because we've had to do so many road cuts in that area because of gas services. So we're trying to do at least one street in the Fruit and Nut the past several years to be able to get all those roads resurfaced.
You know, I'm at White and School.
Yeah, it goes all the way to, it actually goes all the way to Section. It does not go across.
Okay.
So it does not go across. It goes from the Bay Road from Mobile all the way to Section Street.
Okay, all right, thank you.
And just the cost, that's what I want people to understand. So just the cost of doing White Avenue is $100,000.
Wow.
So it's expensive. And again, we budgeted $400,000. There, we have a couple, you know, again, Quail Creek Drive, almost $75,000. We talked about Bayou Drive, and, you know, $52,000. So there's quite a, you know, it's expensive right now to do paving.
Do you want to mention the rest of the list, or if some of those may not happen because it's over budget?
Yeah, correct. So that's something that we have to look at, and the council has not, you know, approved this as of yet. But Richard Johnson will be, basically when we bid this, we do each road individually so we can bid it, get a firm cost, and then come back to the council, and we can kind of pick and choose if something's over budget, mm-hmm. and we decide we don't want to do it, then we can take it off the table.
Okay. All right. Okay. What about, is Oswald on there?
Oswald's not on there.
Oh, okay.
Is that one that's not looking good? We can go look
at it. How does one submit to get on the list? How does
you
that
can,
happen?
So I have a, we have to, because of the gas tax that we utilize, we have to keep a paving list posted at City Hall and at the warehouse.
Okay.
I have a copy of it here. And they, you know, again, we evaluate those roads. A lot of it's, the criteria is based on, you know, how many people travel that road? Is it a major connector? Is it mm-hmm. a minor connector? Some of those kind of things. But this is the list, Lori.
Wow.
And it's posted so people can look and see where you might fall on that list. Obviously, every year is going to depend on our budget, what mm-hmm. we have to spend. But if you have a road that needs to be resurfaced, I would say submit that as a request, either online or call the warehouse and add it so they can evaluate it, look at it, and possibly add it to the list.
Oh, good.
Okay.
Now, this is not like pothole repair. This is repaving.
This is not pothole repair.
Right.
No.
And if you've got a pothole repair, you can go to the city's 311.
Correct.
Yeah.
Just submit a request.
That's really handy. I did that when I needed a no outlet, a dead end mm-hmm. sign, you know, and after Sally.
It works.
Oh, it's great. Yeah. I waited a couple of months to see if the street light would go back up on the new pole. And when it didn't, I put it in. Next thing I knew, I had a street light.
Right there.
So it's very nice.
I continue to say all the time, it takes a village. You know, it takes all eyes because we miss things. I mean, just like everybody else, we're all human. So if you see something, please say something. Please report it.
Especially if you just said 140 miles of road to maintain. Wow.
It's a lot.
It's
a lot of roads.
It is. And it's a lot of potholes. So, I mean, you know, some of them, like there's some roads in River Oaks subdivision, but those have not been paved since the inception. Since the beginning of that subdivision, and they were probably not the best roads when they were paved originally. So, I mean, we're spending a lot of time mm-hmm. on maintenance, going out and repairing potholes. So that's how people make the priority list.
Mm-hmm. So, like River Oaks, the subdivision, the developer had to pave it and get it ready, and then just like on the agenda tonight,
turn it over.
Correct. To the city.
Yeah,
okay.
For maintenance.
All right. Very good.
Okay.
Thank you so much
for your
time, Martin. Do you have any other questions?
What can you tell us about the roundabout that's coming up at the Fairhope Clock?
Right.
Is that part of your domain or is that county?
No, that's city.
That's city.
Okay.
And that is a grant. And right now we're about 75% done with the engineering. So that was presented to council. I think it was the last meeting that was presented to the council. Kind of looked at the estimate on that. I think it's about $3 million, a little more than $3 million. The city's part of that is like $392,000 will be our matching portion. You should probably see that go out for bid the end of the year, and then construction start just after the first of the year.
Okay. Now, to clarify, we're talking about the flower clock. We're talking about Section Street or Scenic 98 at 104 there at the Presbyterian
Church. It's actually Triangle Drive, Veterans Drive, and Section.
Thank you.
I actually had somebody ask me, why are they putting a roundabout at the clock? It's in downtown Fairfield.
No,
the
flower clock.
No, different. The flower clock, not the clock. Section and Fairhope Avenue.
Right. Okay. I did want to mention one other thing too. Some people might have saw it posted on Facebook yesterday. The city got their first concrete truck, which we are very excited about, having a small concrete mixer. Most of you know we have a lot of sidewalks that need to be repaired, a lot of concrete that in the city that needs to be taken care of, storm drain covers, those kind of things. What people don't realize is when you have a small concrete pour, it takes you a while to get a truck. You also have to pay every time they move that truck. It's like $100, $75 to $100 every time they move the truck.
So now we have our own truck, and
my business verified.
So that's cool. So in the long run, it's going to be cost efficient, and then it's efficient to be able to repair things as needed instead of waiting on a contractor.
You don't have to schedule the pour and then move it every time. You actually have that readily available for your crews. Anytime there's some downtime or they want to be able to, you know, go fix a storm drain, they're able to do that.
And I'm guessing the new concrete truck was utilized on the Morphy turning lane onto Section, redoing the new drainage. Have you seen it? It's all flat.
Yeah.
You know, when you turned off of Morphy on a section by the golf cart place, used to be Thomas Home and Auto, you bunk and into that drainage thing, and it was just this crooked, awkward turn. Now it's all nice
and
smooth.
They're working on that. And I don't know if they utilize the concrete truck. They're not probably for the storm drain box.
Right, yeah.
The storm box. And then, of course, the rest of it would be asphalt. But, yes, it's going to enable us to do those smaller jobs on our time schedule instead of having to, you know, again, schedule those pours, and every time you move it, having to pay for that additional fee for moving the truck somewhere else.
That's good. Very good. All right. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay. You've got a trip to Washington coming up also?
We do.
Okay. So what's going on with that?
So we're going with the National League of Cities. This is a trip that they have every year. And so we go and we meet. We have individual meetings scheduled with Senator Katie Britt, with Senator Tommy Tuberville, and with Congressman Jerry Carl. There's some meetings affiliated with the National League of Cities meetings, but we scheduled our own individual appointments to go sit down with them and talk to them about some of the priorities we have here in Fairhope. We just submitted for some grants for the airport, and so we want to talk to them about that, talk to them about some of our priorities for infrastructure. And with all the infrastructure money coming through Washington, it's just a good chance to educate them on what's happening in Fairhope, to ask them if there's any opportunity for money, grant money to come our way, that, you know, give them our priority list.
The National League of Cities is like a fraternity, if you will, of city councils and mayors.
It is.
And they write use some of the verbiage that cities can adopt instead of reinventing the wheel. Is that a good description?
So I'm on the Alabama League of Municipalities Executive Board, and so that's kind of their parent organization is the National League of Cities. But the other thing that we do is, like, there's a meeting for a roundtable discussion for cities our size that we'll be going to. So we can just hear kind of what other challenges other cities across the country are having. Obviously, they're probably going to be some of the same challenges we're facing. So it gives you a chance to interact with other mayors, city councils, city clerks, whatever it might be from across the country. And just, you know, you don't always have to reinvent the wheel.
Right.
They might be dealing with something that you're dealing with, and you're able to find a solution.
Hey, we handled it this way.
How did you fix this? How did you handle
that? That's
right.
So it's great networking, and it's great for building relationships, because we all know that's how you get things done.
Absolutely.
So it's important for us to do that. And it's a quick trip. I think I leave Saturday. And we had several council members going, but life happens and they're not able to go. So I'm going and Councilman Boone's going. And we're going to be able to go up there. And I actually fly in Saturday and then come back Tuesday. So it's pretty quick. And if anybody wants to look at the schedule, it's boom, boom, boom.
Yeah, and that's why the council meeting was last night instead of this coming Monday, the
27th. Spring break.
Plus, it's spring break.
Yeah, spring break. A lot of people like to take family vacations then as well.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Fairhope Mayor Sherry Sullivan making time to join us this morning after doing the opening of the Big Mayor's Golf Tournament at Quail Creek. If you